Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, the Odyssey Group, and our friends at Tegna Corporation. The Locked On Podcast Network is dedicated to bringing you coverage of all of your favorite sports teams, whether that be basketball, baseball, hockey, football, college or pro, draft coverage, who knows. If you have a favorite sport and a favorite team, there's a good chance there's a Locked On show specifically tailored to you and your fanning habits. If you don't believe me, just go to your favorite podcasting platform, whichever one that may be, and go and type in Locked On Podcast or Locked On name of your team here, and you'll find your favorite show. Let the Locked On hosts do the dirty work for you, so all you have to do is worry about going to work and ruling the water cooler. The Locked On Podcast Network's hosts are fans first, giving you a fan perspective, as well as an informed perspective, but a fan-centric perspective so that you can digest each and every day everything you need to know to stay up to date on your favorite teams and favorite players. Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you your teams every single day. All right, so the Braves drop Game 2 last night to the Nationals, so looks like a split is in the works. Kind of a difficult day. I had said before that I was really wanting to see how Tukey kind of handled this start, that this was going to be important for him. Well, he wasn't good. Again, this is the second consecutive start where he's only gone three innings. Just couldn't throw strikes. Allowed one hit, two runs. Only one of them earned, so he actually did a decent job of limiting the damage. But four walks, three strikeouts, did give up a home run. That was the one run against him. Through 62 pitches, only 29 of them were strikes. Now, there were some calls where he kind of was closer to the plate, some balls that probably should have been strikes, but I don't really disagree with having a tighter zone when a guy is showing you consistently that he is not hitting his spots, that he's not throwing to those places on purpose. Whenever you're throwing, like if your catcher is set up outside corner and the ball you throw just barely nicks the inside corner, if you haven't been around the plate most of the time, if you haven't been mostly putting pitches where you want to put them, I don't disagree with that getting called a ball. Even if it is technically a strike, that's an accident. You didn't mean to throw it there. You actually missed your spot by about 2 feet. I don't really agree with rewarding the pitcher for that. I do think that you should have to show at least some measure of command in order to get calls that are borderline or that far off the mark from where you were intending to put them. So, I don't necessarily disagree with that. Not a good night for Tukey Toussaint. Richard Rodriguez finally got victimized with a home run. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, this is what happens when you have a guy whose FIP is so much higher than his ERA. You're just kind of ignoring Richard Rodriguez's stat line. I get it because, oh, well, he only throws one pitch and, you know, he gets hit hard because he throws fastballs all the time. I know. But guess what? Juan Soto tends to victimize a lot of people. Unfortunately, if you throw Juan Soto four fastballs in a row, you've probably thrown him three too many in a row. But Richard Rodriguez gives up the hit and the home run to Juan Soto in what is otherwise a clean inning. Drew Smyly inexplicably gets brought in the eighth inning, gives up three hits and an earned run. Edgar Santana comes in to close out the game with it already being kind of out of reach at that point. Two walks and a strikeout on his part as the Braves lose 4-2. But that wasn't the main storyline for this game. As you guys all know by now, Will Smith hit Juan Soto Tuesday's game. In the ninth inning of Tuesday's game, Will Smith hit Juan Soto. Now, the question of was it on purpose or was it accidental? Smith told everybody that it was accidental. That was on purpose. That was 100% on purpose at the time. It was the hardest pitch he'd thrown in the game. The place where it hit him and what Will Smith did after hitting him kind of gives it as a dead giveaway. If it's an accidental pitch, you're going to see a pitcher react that way where it's going to kind of be like, ah, crap. Didn't mean to do that. Hey, my bad. Or just kind of looking away in disgust. When a pitcher drills you and then stares you down and then stares you down again when the game is over, it's on purpose. And let's not act like Will Smith doesn't have these habits. Will Smith has been this way towards Juan Soto ever since Juan Soto tried to get, quote-unquote, a little too close to the batter's box to time him up. And Will Smith started running his mouth to him. Juan Soto bombed off him, stared him down. Will Smith tried to yell at him, and it just seems to happen all the time. Will Smith does not like that little shimmy that Juan Soto does, and to be honest, I think it's stupid too. But Will Smith is also a very soft baseball player. That was on purpose, and the end result was you don't want to start beanball wars with teams that are 25 games under 500. You don't want to start beanball wars with teams that have no shot at going to the postseason because they have zero to lose. And what happens? They start somebody that really doesn't matter at all, like they did yesterday, and then they hit Freddie Freeman. And they threw it behind him first, and then they drilled him in the hip. And that was completely as a result. And if you listen to Freddie talk, you see Freddie get animated a little bit. Nothing kind of major, nothing angry, but you saw him talk to Davey Martinez. You saw him go and talk to Juan Soto. You saw him talk to Lance Barksdale, the home plate umpire, and basically got the pitcher tossed. And that was basically, and Freddie talked about it after the game, saying, you know, I said the first one, he gets the first one there, but if he throws another one, then he's got to go, because that's clear intent. And that's what happens when your relievers start beanball wars because they can't get somebody out. And that, to me, is something, that's one of the things that I don't like here. That's one of the things that you need to bear in mind when you start doing things like that. Because if you're Will Smith, there was no need for you to hit Juan Soto in that space. If you didn't want to pitch to him, you could have just intentionally walked him. But instead, you hit him. You hit one of the best players in baseball. You hit the clear only good player on that baseball team. So, of course, a team that has been down bad all season long, a team that has had to start their rebuild, a team that the fans aren't real happy with watching right now, why would they not stick up for their best hitter? I don't blame Washington for hitting Freddie Freeman. I blame Will Smith for Freddie Freeman getting hit. Now, luckily, the guy they had hit Freddie could only throw about 90 miles an hour, so you didn't do any damage to him, and credit to Davey Martinez for not trying to really hurt Freddie. First pitch, you could say, well, it went behind him and went kind of near his head. That was supposed to be a breaking ball, and it didn't break. You could tell by the finger placement on the ball and his wrist motion. It just didn't break on him. So then he threw a fastball and hit Freddie in the hip at about 90 miles an hour. Obviously, you don't want to see Freddie hit. Obviously, this is the Braves podcast, so I'm not just going to say that the Nationals are awesome or whatever. But in this one instance, I will tell you that I didn't have a problem with the Nationals hitting Freddie. Freddie didn't have a problem with him getting thrown at. He knew when he was talking to Davey Martinez, that's what he was letting him know. It was like, you know, the first one there, I get it. It's the game. You got to stick up for your guy and blah, blah, blah. And if you're a Braves fan, you're probably kind of shocked to see a team stick up for their hitters. It doesn't happen very often. Well, there you go. Freddie Freeman gets hit. The Braves end up losing 4-2. We'll see what they can do tonight. It's going to be kind of an important game. You definitely don't want to lose a series to this Washington Nationals team. It'll be Oscar Noah going tonight, trying to get the bad taste of Colorado out of his mouth versus Eric Fetty for Washington. Should be a decent matchup for Oscar here. Obviously, Juan Soto kind of worries you a little bit. Yadiel Hernandez is a guy that can hit pretty well. But outside of that, I don't really worry too much when Oscar's on the bump. He's just shown to this point that if his breaking stuff is working at all, he's going to give you six innings. And he's going to keep it within scoring distance. And that's really all you're really looking to have from your starting pitcher. If he can go better and do even better, even awesome. Love it. If not, no worries. As long as you keep the team in the game. The bullpen for the Nationals, they're not going to go another nine innings of like two-run ball. They're not a good bullpen. So you keep that going for the longest amount of time, and you'll end up scoring some runs. I feel pretty good about the Braves today. So if you're looking to bet a line, bet the over for the Braves today, I would imagine. Because Eric Fetty is not a great pitcher overall anyway, and the Braves tend to smash Eric Fetty. So we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk about we're going to talk about some minor leaguers at some point today, and we're going to talk about Touki Toussaint and what to do with that spot in the rotation coming up next. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Molecule Mattress. I share a bed with a Pro Bowl quarterback, an Olympic swimmer, and a national women's soccer star. Now, you probably want me to explain. I think we should just leave it right there. When I heard how many elite athletes sleep on a Molecule mattress and call it their best sleep ever, I had to order one for myself, and they were spot on. I'm no elite athlete. I figure you guys probably can figure that out since I'm here doing podcasts with you. But I do have sleep issues, you know, hot sleeper, night sweats, wake up with a sore, stiff back, especially the back and neck part. So I need a mattress that's going to help me get my best sleep possible. And when I do, I turn to my Molecule mattress. Molecule sleep scientists literally created the world's most perfect mattress. It's unlike any other mattress in a box. It's cool to the touch, not like other foam mattresses that can get kind of hot and that retain heat. That's six times the airflow of my old mattress. so it keeps me cool all night long. It has zone reflex layers that adjust with me and all of my weird sleeping positions so that I never awaken with a stiff neck or a sore back. And it's antimicrobial, which is nice. It means it stays clean, people. Molecule matches how elite athletes and hosts of your favorite podcasts get the best sleep ever. Sleep on your Molecule mattress risk-free for 100 nights. If you don't have your deepest, most restorative sleep ever, just return it. Visit onmolecule.com and save 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is 20% with the promo code LOCKEDON at onmolecule.com. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, there is no annual contract, so get rid of the clutter and the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices required. Content varies by package. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Like I said, we'll talk some minor leaguers today. I think I'm going to save that for the third segment if we get there. Running a little bit close to the vest today. But the first thing we have to discuss is what the Braves need to do in the rotation. Because Touki Toussaint, as I said, yesterday was an important start for him. And unfortunately, it was important for the wrong reasons for Touki. If you're like me, if you had asked me a couple weeks ago, about a week and a half ago, how Touki Toussaint had been pitching since being a starter, I would have told you that I thought he'd been doing pretty well. Unfortunately, the numbers do not back this up. Touki has not pitched effectively for a while. Quite frankly, he's actually been about as bad as Drew Smyly, maybe even a touch worse than Drew Smyly, and it's kind of a shame. Lately, you have not seen a lot of good from Touki Toussaint. His last few starts here, he's gone three innings and back-to-back starts now. Neither one of those were outstanding outings from him. His FIP is through the roof lately. His season line is up to 4.11 on the ERA, which that's not horrible. That's perfectly fine for a fifth starter. The problem is that FIP is at 5.47. That is a little bit less unplayable. If you're telling your offense that they got to score six runs every time you're out there, that's a tough sell. It's reflected in his game score, which is right now 48. That is below average. 50 is the average cutoff, so anything below 50 is considered below average. Not been good for him. Just for the record, when you look at Drew Smyly, Drew Smyly's is not much far off than Touki Toussaint's 48. And that's not to say that Drew Smyly should be put back in the rotation. I don't think he's done very well either. I think Drew, if you use him properly in the bullpen, can be a nice addition in the bullpen. It's a guy that's thrown almost 118 innings, the third longest stretch of his career. You can tell it's just kind of getting to him. But his FIP is a 5.30. His game score is a 45. So roughly the exact same type of outings from Drew Smyly and Touki Toussaint. So this is one of those things for Touki. We've seen it with him before, and it seems like we get fooled by Touki every year, really. He comes up and he has a couple really good starts. Then he slowly starts kind of falling off a little bit. And it has to do with the command. We've said this a million times with Touki. I've told you guys this a number of times. He just does not have consistent command. It just doesn't work for him consistently. And if you can't command the fastball and you're missing arm side and glove side, quite frankly, by quite a bit, and the only pitch that you can reliably throw is that breaking ball, it's just not going to work out for you all that often because hitters are going to know what's going on. And unfortunately for Touki, that's kind of has been what's been trending this way for a while for him now. I do think, by the way, I still maintain that he's going to be an excellent guy out of the bullpen. I think that even if you move him out of the rotation, which I think you should not be afraid to put him in the bullpen. I think that the bullpen right now, there are a few guys that could use some rest. Josh Tomlin is now on the injured and gone list, so I don't know where Tukey fits in on that list there, but you could certainly find a spot for him. I still think his stuff is too good to not have him in that bullpen, particularly when you get closer to a playoff run. Jacob Webb has pitched really, really well, so I'm not wanting to demote Jacob Webb right now. But for Tukey, I do think that's his future because he's just not consistent enough over time. He'll give you one or two really good starts, and then from there it's kind of just all downhill until it eventually gets to a point like it has right now where he's not fooling anybody. Teams have plenty of tape on him. They know how he's going to attack them, and they know they don't really have to worry about that fastball all too much because he can't really put it where he wants it. And unfortunately for Tukey, that's just kind of how it goes. He's kind of stuck on that hurdle, and he's got to figure it out. So as you can probably guess, I would replace him in the rotation. Now, I thought Kyle Muller probably should have had that spot to begin with. Kyle Muller in his major league outings really only had one bad outing, and unfortunately for him, it was his final one before getting sent down. Aside from that, the only other below average outing for him was on July the 3rd, where he had a 49 game score. His final one was a 14 game score. He's got a 53. Now, he's got a 4.17 ERA, so about right there with Tukey, but his FIP is where you see a big difference at 3.66. That shows you that he's doing much better. Now, the difference for Kyle is obviously that Kyle has command issues of his own. He usually walks a fair number of guys, and that's kind of been a problem for him for a while. And that's going to be a problem for him for a while. Sometimes pitchers are just that way. If you look at Kyle Muller, he tends to walk a lot of guys. That tends to happen for him. And that's just a side effect that you get that way. He doesn't necessarily give up a ton of hits. That's why his whips aren't awful. But that's just kind of what you see with certain guys. And maybe that gets different as he gets older, as he gets a little bit more advanced. But for now, that's just what you see from him. But he doesn't really let whips get out of control. He's only had a whip over 1.3 twice in his career. And that was in 2018 and 2019, respectively. In 2019, it was 1.33. in Double-A, so that's certainly playable there. He's done a very good job since being back in Gwinnett. Kyle's a guy that I think should get the call-up. I don't think Kyle ever should have been taken down, but he's also a guy that once you get to the playoffs, I want Kyle Wright in the bullpen, Kyle Muller. I want Kyle Muller in the bullpen because I need lefties that throw hard in the bullpen, and Kyle Muller has shown that he's got wipeout stuff. It's more about command with him, and I think he can help the Braves quite a bit. And when you look at what he's done in the minor leagues this year, he's been one of the best pitchers in the minor leagues for the Braves. 3.08 ERA over 64 and a third inning. 31 walks, which is not what you want to see. That's almost, you know, that's a lot of walks. 75 strikeouts. And since he's been sent down, since August the 18th, he has done very, very well. He's gone six innings in all but one of those starts. He's had an ERA over 3 twice. Now, it's been his last two starts, but he's pitched very, very well for himself. Racking up the strikeouts a little bit there. Got a few more strikeouts than walks, which is what you're looking to see. And like I said, with Kyle Muller, you can have the walks, you can have the hits, but you can't have both at the same time. So that's kind of the thing with Kyle. If he can kind of limit that to one of those things, then I'm perfectly fine. Another name to keep an eye on is, and I know this one's going to probably anger a lot of people, or a lot of people are going to instantly be grossed out by it, Kyle Wright. Yes, the same Kyle Wright that feels like he's been around for 27 years. He's still only 25 years old. Excuse me. He is actually, if you've kind of written off Kyle Wright and you haven't paid attention to him at all this year, I can't really say that I blame you because it's been so bad for him at the major league level. But he has been very good in AAA this year. His AAA number is 7-5, if you care about wins and losses, but you shouldn't. 3.47 ERA, which is what you're kind of looking for there. 109 innings. 39 walks, which is something that I like to see. 5 hit-by-pitches, 12 wild pitches, so, you know, something to work on still. Only allowed 9 homers, which is, you know, another good thing. 112 strikeouts in those 109 innings. And he's typically going later into ball games. Now, he's had a couple clunkers here and there. He'll have a stretch for a while where he does really well, and then have a couple, a clunker or two in a row. But for the most part, he's going 6 and 7 innings most of those times out there, and pitching very well. And that's kind of what you want to see. He's done a lot of things. When you turn it to his advanced stats, you start to kind of see where he's been kind of running this year. His whip in the minors is 1.29. That's not bad. It's still under 1.3, which is what I look for. The FIP's at 3.58. Now, I don't think that he would. I still don't think he would be exceptional in the big leagues. I still think that he'd probably run into some of the same issues. He's right at 9.25 strikeouts per 9, and about 3.25 walks per 9. He's not given up a lot of homers in the minors. But again, those are things that, he has struggled with in the big leagues. And those are things that you kind of I'm not going to trust until I see for myself. But it is important to remember, he's still just 25 years old. There's a reason why the Braves took him when, where and when that they did. Unfortunately, his fastball seems to do this thing where he pitches a certain way in the minors, and he kind of goes after hitters, and he attacks them with four seams up in the zone and breakers down in the zone, and it tends to work for him. And then he comes up to the big leagues, and you can tell he just pitches scared. And we've seen this from a number of pitchers. We've seen it from Sean Newcomb for years, and it's one of the things that really held Sean Newcomb back and basically kind of busted Sean Newcomb. And we've seen that from Kyle Wright nearly every time he's been in the bigs. So I'm not going to believe that a change is around the corner until I actually see him do it at the big league level. What he's done at Gwinnett and his minor league stops as a whole has never really been in question. He's been perfectly fine in the minor leagues. He doesn't pitch that same way. But when he gets to the big leagues, he can't make himself attack those hitters for fear of getting bombed on, which does happen to him quite a bit because his fastball doesn't spin very well. And when he tries to get movement on it, he tends to play below its velocity and kind of give up some hard-hit balls. So while we're in a tight race, I don't know if you're going to trust Kyle Wright or if you're going to go back to Kyle Muller. I personally would probably lean towards Muller, but Kyle Wright has certainly shown that he deserves a shot to show what he can do again. And if he's able to hang on, you know, it's not like this would come out of nowhere. He was a very high-profile prospect and was as high as number three or number five in a lot of Braves circles for prospect rankings before it started this fall when it kind of showed that he couldn't hack at the big league level a little bit. We'll see what happened. At 25 years old, there's certainly a chance that he can come through now. But we're going to go ahead and take our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of the other minor leaguers, some guys that are really showing out for the Braves, as well as a guy that you guys can guess what I'm going to talk about. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the number one greatest protein bar in all of the land, and I am telling you the truth. If you don't believe me, just try them out for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com. You can build your own box to try all of the delicious flavors with that ridiculously good texture that you're not going to get anywhere else. Built Bars are perfect, and I mean absolutely perfect. All sorts of flavors. They only have about 19 grams of protein, only about 4 grams of net carbs. As I sound like I'm choking to death over here, they are perfect for any time of day, whether it's meal replacement, whether it is pre or post workout, whether it's a midnight snack. All you got to do is try them out for yourself and you will be hooked. Go to BuiltBar.com, try them out for yourself, and then use the promo code LOCKED15 at checkout. You're going to get a nice little surprise. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. I want you to go there, try it out, put my words to the test. Go to BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, building the perfect protein bar. Today's episode is also brought to you by Rock Auto. Your car does a lot of things for you, so you should do your car a favor and do the best for it. It takes care of you, gets you point A to point B. Well, take care of your car like it's taken care of you all of these years. Don't be skipping those oil changes. Don't feel like you have to go to an auto parts store and pay that markup. All you got to do is go to rockauto.com. Sometimes it feels like if you try to do it yourself, they're going to charge you more than they would charge that guy that works at the shop. Well, if you go to a parts store, you're probably right. They're probably going to give those parts wholesale to the guys that work on the cars. But if you try to do it yourself, you're going to have to pay that 20-30% markup. You don't want to do that. Honestly, you don't even want to have to put on pants. So use that computer that's standing in your pocket, that's in your hand right now, that you're using to listen to this podcast, and put it to good use. Go to rockauto.com. They're a family-owned and operated business, so that means you are going to pay the exact same rate as that guy that works at the auto body shop down the street. Nobody's going to get special deals because every deal is going to be a special deal. There's a lot of parts, so there's no point going to an auto parts store to begin with because they're probably not going to have it in there. So you know what? Skip the middleman. Go to rockauto.com, and in that box at the bottom of the screen that asks where you heard about it, say Locked On Podcast Network, or say Locked On. Let them know that we sent you there. Go to rockauto.com. Try it out for yourself today. Rockauto.com. Changing the name of the game. All right, everybody, welcome to the final segment here for today's Locked On Braves. As I said, we're going to focus on the minor leaguers and a couple of guys in particular. Really, one player I want to talk about the most, and that is one Christian Pache. I know a lot of people have kind of written Pache off already, which to me is stupid to do after such a short time at the big league level. But if you've been paying attention at all to the minor leagues, you've been paying attention to Christian's numbers. Or if you haven't and you've really been interested and just want to know, since August, Christian Pache has been on an absolute tear down in Gwinnett. It's been quite a show for him since he swapped it over. And it's good to see because people were wondering, was he really going to have enough offense to be the type of player that people were thinking that he would be when he was such a high-level prospect for the Braves? And the answer is, if you buy the last month and some change, that answer is absolutely yes. When you look at what he's done since the calendar swapped over to August, I'm just going to give you his numbers right here. 340, 411, 530 with a 941 OPS. That's good for an ISO of just under 2, 1.9. He has been outstanding in that time frame. And that's important to see because there's a couple of numbers in there that I think are more important than even just the basic 300, 400, 500, which is difficult in and of itself. He's been a very, very good player the last month and a half, or last month and nine games or so. He's been playing his normal exceptional defense. If you've been paying attention on Twitter, you've seen some of the highlights from him already. He's just been outstanding in that aspect. But more importantly, he's been good basically everywhere else. He's taken a lot of walks. His walk rate is up over 10% over that in those stretch of times, and that's what you're looking to see. It shows that he's making sure that he gets some good ABs in there. I think he's done a phenomenal job. I think that he's somebody that we should start paying attention to again. Now, if you're like me, you never really quit paying attention to him because he's been one of my favorite prospects from the jump. But there is no denying that he definitely needed the time back down there again. He was not playing particularly well, and he needed to go back down and work on some things. And it seems like he's put that time to good use. The question with Christian has always been whether or not he would hit well enough to really reach that lofty ceiling. But again, if you're looking at just from the time that August 1st hits, you're talking about a 400, 500, a 300, 400, 500 slash line. That is nothing to sneeze at. 941 OPS is outstanding, especially for a guy with his defense. That translates to a 153 WRC plus. Now, the BABIP is at 423, so it's obviously not going to play that high at the big league level, but you're talking about a stretch of over a month. He's done very well, and he's cut the strikeouts down, which has been a big part of his game, striking it down to 22.3% over this past 30-ish games, I guess, or this past month and 9 days. 10.7 for that walk rate. That's what we're trying to see there. That's where you're really looking at. Over the course of it all, he's just been very, very good. And that's what I'm really liking about Christian, is he hasn't done anything super crazy. He's just kind of been going about and doing his thing. But you can tell he's learning. And you can tell that he's really starting to put a lot of things together. And he's starting to kind of get to that mode where he's starting to figure out what it is that he does well. And if you take a look at his swing, you can tell there's a pretty big difference in his swing. When he started out this year, there was a big, big hole on the inside portion of a swing. Basically, if you threw the ball inside to him, you were going to be able to get him a swing and miss. Down and in, he was not going to be able to touch it. That hole seems to be gone. And over that stretch of games, 28 games that we've been talking about, he's been hitting very well. 34 hits total, 4 homers, 7 doubles, 15 RBIs, 12 walks, which is what I'm looking at, to 25 strikeouts. Like I said, 340 average. Got 5 steals. Has been caught 3 times, but he's at least been aggressive on the base paths as well, something that I like to see from him. Still showing off the cannons, still showing off the defense. I don't know that he's going to get back up this year. The Braves already have a very crowded outfield as it is, and it's going to be very hard for Snicker to figure out the way he wants to play these outfielders to begin with. But even if it doesn't end up anymore this year, even if the rest of this year Christian stays in the minors, maybe he comes up as one of the guys on the postseason roster as a late-inning defensive replacement or something like that. I don't know. But whatever the case may be, he looks in good form to come out next year and really compete and take a starting spot in center field, maybe depending on what the Braves might do in the offseason. But the Braves have to feel pretty good about what they've seen from Christian lately. He's kind of separated himself from Drew Waters. For a while, it's been, you know, which of the two was better between Christian and Drew. I've always been a Christian supporter myself. Not that I think that Drew is a bad prospect by any means. I think Drew is a fantastic prospect in his own right. But if you just look at their numbers over that same stretch of time, it's pretty apparent that Christian has figured some things out while Drew probably still hasn't. Drew, over that same stretch of time, has a 16% walk rate, which is nice, but that strikeout rate is 35.8%. He's only hitting 159, 292, 182 over that same month stretch. It's not good. That's a 41 WRC plus. Now, I'm not one of these that's giving up on Drew Waters. I still think Drew is an exceptionally talented ball player. I still think he'll figure it out. I think not being able to play last year kind of hurt him. If you look at his season line overall, 283, 348, 440 with a 788 OPS, that is certainly playable. 121 WRC plus for him on the season in the minor leagues. This has been a rough stretch for him lately, but he's still done some good things this year too, especially once you see... that might have been the wrong time there. So that is not the numbers for Drew Waters. Drew Waters for 2021 is really what we should be looking at so far. Drew Waters in 2021 has not had nearly that same level of success. I apologize for that. That was not smart on my part. Drew Waters sitting at 231 on the season. Not had a good year. Now, granted, I give him a pass. 231, 328, 365, the 693 OPS for this year for Drew, as I had the settings for all dates, which was including his entire minor league career. It's hard when you have a full season off, so for Drew, we're kind of seeing that. But for Christian, importantly, you wanted to see him make these adjustments. When he came up and the big leagues were too much for him and he had so many holes in his swing and wasn't performing well, you needed to see him make those adjustments. And he's done that at the minor league level. There's not... You want to see him sustain it for the rest of the year, but that's more of a function of you don't really have the luxury of letting him learn at the big league level right now. You obviously don't want him to sit there and do nothing. You want him to be able to gain some experience and get at-bats for as much as possible before he comes back up on a big league team. But overall, very, very proud of what I've seen from Christian, and it's a good sign for the Braves and for their center fielder of the future. Don't know what's going to happen in the offseason or whatever. Obviously, the Braves are in contention to maybe go after a few big guys in free agency or in trades. Christian would obviously be a prominent name in any of those. I don't know what the plan is total, but if you're telling me the plan is to roll with the best defensive center fielder in baseball who has 20-20 upside offensively, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better solution than that. So good on Christian. not like he's planning on coming to the big leagues anytime soon. I really just wanted to give Christian a shout-out. A couple other guys in the minor leagues that I'll get to at another time. But for now, we're going to go ahead and end the show. So thank you to everybody who tuned into the show. We will be back again later this week right here on Locked On Braves.